My name is Ben.
And I'm Mitch Connor.
Mitch Connor, who the fuck is that?
That is when Cartman in South Park has split personalities, that's his hand.
Ah, okay. Well, you're not that. You're Jake. And tonight, we're going to go visit our neighbors to the north and talk about a Canadian haunting in Ontario,
right.
I guess.
Canadian ghosts.
Canadian ghosts. We're going to talk about the Canadian ghosts, eh?
Eh.
I'm glad we don't have very many listeners in Canada. Anyway.
Oh, we will after this.
Jacob, how you doing, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How are you?
Pretty not bad. Pretty not bad.
All right. I got a question that probably all of our viewers, well, listen, ear watchers are wondering. Well, you bust my balls every time. I can pretend to be who I want.
Well, I mean, I suppose. But
it's 2022.
Mitch McConnell or whatever you said isn't three gnomes
Mitch
in a
Connor.
Trench coat, and you are. Oh, yeah, not Mitch McConnell.
He's a hand with googly eyes. And his other hand's Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Vaguely, but yes, I do remember it.
So, yeah, Canadian ghosts.
Canadian ghosts.
Eh?
All right, buddy. Well, I don't have anything to cover, so hop on into it whenever you're ready.
All right, so I'm going to start this off by saying I read the book. Well, listen to the book. Basically, the family that this happened to, the mother of this family, she's the one who wrote the book. So you're getting what happened straight from the source, not like someone got a whole bunch of stories and newspapers and blah, 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 and wrote the book about it. This is all straight from the source.
So very Hinsdale reminiscent.
Yes. And like I said, tame until they do something that they shouldn't. So this is a family of five. You got Dora, who
is an explorer,
and who wrote the book. Dora
is an explorer.
I guess in a sense, she explored. Ted, he's the papa. Then you got three kids. Cammy, she's the oldest, but all of them are very young. I think she's six when it first starts taking place. Then Matt's five, then Rose is two. And then Piper is the dog. It's a Cocker Spaniel. So they're in Ontario, this nice little neighborhood, nice little town that everyone loves the neighborhood, but they're driving through a snowstorm, so you know it's July in Canada. and they're just coming home from the store or something. Snowstorm's getting pretty bad, so they're trying to get home quick. When Ted looks out his window and sees an open house for this beautiful Victorian house for sale. They just like months before this bought a brand new or a new house and moved in. Like they just finished moving into this house, but Ted wanted to see how much they were selling for, see if they got ripped off from their old Victorian house. So they go in and look around, and Dora, she's not too happy about it, because one, you got three small kids all in their snowsuits. Have to get them out of the car, walk through this house, and try to keep them under control.
Right. Getting kids in and out of the car is a pain in the ass, as any parent listening could tell you.
Yeah, especially young ones. But Ted was very adamant that he wanted to look. So they all went in. And instantly, they just feel completely drawn to this house. Like, It's so inviting. It's not anywhere near their kind of style. It's like hippie style, like 60s happening pad style, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they hate it. But something about the house is just so compelling to them. And they start talking about buying it.
So my thought when you said they stopped in the middle of a snowstorm, that was probably being drawn from the get-go.
Right.
Like, that was just my thought on it, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she said... in the book, she said, as soon as they pulled up, Ted can't take his eyes off of it. Very drawn to go in and check it out and all that stuff. He's saying he just wants to see how much it's going for, but she knows it's something different. And as soon as she takes one step in, her mood just changes. She's like, she doesn't want to take the kids in there. She doesn't want to go in there and check it out. She was hoping that he would just grab a pamphlet and get out. But as soon as she took a step in, it's just, this is a miracle house. She's talking about how much she hates the hippie shag carpet and the super colorful walls, like psychedelic shit.
So she walks in and starts redecorating her house, pretty much, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
And the kids are in love with it. And you know the old Victorian style of staircases?
Yep.
Like the spiral. Yeah. So it had one of those. And that was the only thing that she said kind of threw her for a loop. She's like, the kids are going to fall on this.
They were rather steep.
Yeah.
You know, a little unsafe. Yeah.
But as soon as she gets the kids up there, that feeling just goes away instantly. She's back in love with it. The kids seem to love it. All the bedrooms are upstairs. And it doesn't seem very spacious, but something about this, they just love it. So after they check everything out, they look around the house and all that stuff. They seriously start talking about buying it, which is crazy if you literally just bought a house.
Yeah. Yeah, but, that's... Ooh, bud.
Yeah. So about a week later, they get in contact with a person selling the house and say they want to look back at it, kind of hoping that they would see that they don't actually want it.
Mm-hmm.
But the second visit, absolutely fell in love with it, and they're like, all right, we're selling our house.
I'm getting dickered on this one.
They got dickered indeed.
They got dickered on that one, bud.
Yeah. They sold their house that they just bought a month or two beforehand for a bit less. Like, they got way less. But this house was dirt cheap. This Victorian, beautiful Victorian style house, dirt cheap. And even when they were talking to the real estate agent, they're like, how much is it? And they never disclose how much it was, but they say it was extremely cheap.
Price to move. We're slashing prices.
Well, they said they repeated the amount to the real estate agent, and the agent said it's negotiable.
Oh.
So the person who owned the house just wanted to get rid of it. So they buy it. They start moving their stuff in, and the day that they're supposed to start moving their stuff in, they run into the old owner who's just standing in the kitchen looking out the back window.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he's sad to give it up, because his wife died in the house, raised his family here, and all that stuff. But he also says he needs to get rid of the house. And she's asking why. And he seems like he wants to say something, but he's not. He just starts mentioning the plants in the backyard, about how he planted... I can't remember what tree it is, but he bought it like 20 years ago. And that day was the first day that it actually bloomed.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought it was a sign that this family was going to be right for this house. And everyone had their own room. Well, each kid had their own room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at least a 4-bedroom house.
Right. So decent size. Good size for their family anyway.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to pop out more fucking hoodlums.
That's dumb. So they get moved in and everything's going good. The first slightly strange thing that happens is they notice the kids are just going around picking up a shit ton of old coins. Like, they're finding them everywhere. Mm-hmm. All over the windowsills, mostly. And they chalk that up to everyone's got loose change.
Right.
But a little bit weird to have it all over the windowsill. And they said it was a ridiculous amount of change. Then the next weird thing is they would smell fresh baked bread all the time. Which,
I mean, that's weird. Complain. That is weird, but that is also the opposite of a problem.
Right, right. Like, yeah, I would not complain. They say they smell flavored pipe tobacco, which...
also pleasant.
Yep, and cinnamon. Then the next odd occurrence is when they're sleeping, they hear footsteps going on the stairs and, like, up and down the halls,
mm-hmm.
which they say it's the kids, but the kids say it's not them. So they just kind of make a joke out of it, and they're like, oh, I guess we got a ghost. And, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So about a month after they move in, Rosa, she's too young for school, so it's just her and Dora, her and Mom, at home. And they're out in the backyard. Mom's gardening. Rosa's just playing around. And she looks up, and she starts giggling and all that stuff. And then she says, I saw a pretty girl in my room. And Mom, being very logical, she's like, oh, well, we're the only ones home. So you know better than that. A 2-year-old. She's saying that to a 2-year-old. And she's like, well, I saw her. She was wearing a pretty dress. She had long hair. And she waved at me. And she was in my room. So the mom's like, well, you know we're the only ones here. But let's go up and see. So they go up there. Nothing in the room. And the little girl, she starts looking like in her closet, under her bed. She's like, there was someone in my room. A pretty girl was in my room. And Mom's like, it's weird that she has so much details. And she's 2 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3 years old. Either one. But normally when a kid's telling a tall tale, they don't have like very good details. But she did. And she swore up and down that she saw this girl. And it turned into a normal occurrence. She would see the little girl and tell her mom, tell her dad, tell her brother or sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of turned into a family joke. They would get home from school or work and, oh, did you see the girl today? And eventually the little girl just stops talking about it because even a 3-year-old knows when they're being made fun of.
Yeah, I suppose.
So their first thought is to just chalk it all up to the girl's imagination.
Right, that age is ripe for an imaginary friend situation.
Yeah. And basically the first year that they're there, only weird things that are happening is the footsteps, the smells. Rose has seen a pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
The coins just coming out of nowhere. And yeah, so first year is pretty normal, but then one night, after a long day, they're all laying in bed, and Dora says she just can't get to sleep. Ted, as soon as he hits the pillow, he's done for. But she's trying to fall asleep, but she just can't. And she gets a sense that something's wrong. So she opens up her eyes, and by her doorway, she sees this incredibly tall woman. And this is one thing that I really liked about this book, is she says it looks exactly like a person. Not transparent, not like all white.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she said it looked like a nurse's outfit. Like, with the long, kind of like a nun habit.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, but old-timey nurse.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, you want me to get into my vampire porno stuff?
Anyway.
I will. So they see that, and, well, you know how everyone reacts. She's scared shitless.
Yeah.
But she says the hair is, like, very golden blonde, very bright blonde. No face. Absolutely no face.
Well, that puts, like, a whole different spin on this story now, don't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But she can see, like, a couple of ribbons and then that long... What?
It was Slender Nurse.
Slender Nurse. Yeah, extremely tall. Yeah.
With no face.
Slender Nurse. Slender Nurse. No face.
Slender Man in drag.
So... It seems like Slender Nurse is just staring, like, at them, but she finally, like, breaks her eye contact and goes to wake up Ted, which is kind of pissed about being woken up, and she's like, but look at the lady there. As these stories go, Ted says, you were dreaming, go back to bed. She's like, but I didn't fall asleep, and Ted's like, yes, you did. Shut up and go to bed. Go, Ted. Then they want to build onto the house. Like, after this, she's a little bit weird out, but
life goes on.
Right. And her first, I forgot to say this, her first thought is, oh, I need to move out. Which Ted's like, fuck you.
Bitch, we just bought this house, sold another house to bought this house. We ain't going fucking nowhere.
Yeah. Basically two new houses in less than 2 years. And she comes to the conclusion that either the lady was floating or she's extremely tall. So life goes on. And they need to add on to the house. They want to make, like, a family room onto the backyard. And it's only a half an acre plot.
Uh-huh.
Used to be bigger, but not no more. So they start, like, working on it. Get some crews to come over. And they're digging up some stuff. They start getting objects, like, one in particular was a glass jar, a small glass jar for, like, spices.
Mm-hmm.
But Rosa really liked it, so she wanted to keep it. And then she said the pretty girl who she talked to, who she sees all the time, told her that if she looked in a certain spot, she would find buried treasure.
Mm.
So she digs, and she finds what looks like a big old chunk of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's heavy like gold. And she shows mom and dad. And dad's like, oh, shit. I'm gonna go to my geologist friend and figure out
what the fuck is this.
Yeah, because he thought it was gold. One glance, geologist friend says this is, I think it's pyrite, right?
Iron fool's pyrite, gold. Yes.
Yeah, it's fool's gold.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah.
He got food.
So, nosy neighbor who saw him dig that up goes over there and they're like, oh yeah, 100 years ago, there was a huge flood to this area because they thought they found gold, but it was all pyrite. So, sorry. You found some. Because it's California Gold Rush, not Canada Gold Rush.
There's gold there, too.
Hardly.
Not as much, but, you know, some.
So, the jar, the pyrite, and a couple other things. Mostly, like, broken cement, like they got rid of an add-on to the house years and years ago.
Just a lot of the same kind of shit you usually find if you dig up around old houses.
Yeah. Yeah. So they clean up the jar, let the little girl keep it, and the night that she brings the jar in and, like, puts it in her room, things started going a little bit weirder. Not scary weird yet, but weird. That night at 3 a.m., go figure, it's that time, fire alarms start going off. Wakes up the whole house, and it starts in Matt's room, which I need to explain Matt's room, because in the book, this is like two fucking chapters of describing his room.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Matt's room, when they first took a look at it, it was kind of a gross-looking room. Like, it was sealed off completely. Looks like it hadn't been used in decades.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Like, the color on the walls, like, because they used wallpaper back then, it was all faded.
Mm-hmm.
Because it hadn't been touched in so long. Thick-ass cobwebs and dust and all that. But he loved it because it had a door up to the attic.
Ooh.
Yeah, which was also bolted shut.
Mm-hmm.
And Mom decided they needed to keep it that way. But he really wanted the room, so they redecorate it and throw up, like, some hockey wallpaper, clean up the room, and he loves it. So the fire alarm started first in his room and then spread throughout the house.
Mm-hmm.
So they get someone over to check for carbon monoxide and all that stuff, which nothing. They just said it's a faulty wiring system or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they change all the fire alarms just for it to happen again 3 a.m. the next night.
Mm-hmm.
So they just end up leaving the batteries out of the smoke detectors.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah. So once the ghostie can't fuck with them that way, they decide to shut off Matt's heat. Only to that room.
No okay. heat.
So he starts complaining that it's cold in there. So they get someone to fix, because it had a separate furnace.
Mm-hmm.
They just figured it's an old furnace. Someone comes to fix the furnace, says there's nothing wrong with it, but relights the pilot light, and it's working just fine until the next night when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Then one night, Dora hears Matt screaming. She rushes in there, and kid's white as a ghost, shaking like a leaf, just trembling, staring. And Dora goes, sits on his bed, asks him what's wrong. He says, there's a lady sitting on the edge of my bed. I felt her sit down and I woke up. And she's like, oh, well, what'd she look like? And he goes on to describe the exact same lady that Mom saw and only told Ted.
Oh,
yeah. Except he saw her face.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And she was, mom's like, okay, well, this could be a dream. Maybe I mentioned it too loud. And he thinks he just saw it. But she's like, oh, well, was she happy? And he said, no, she was not smiling. She's like, well, what'd she look like? And in kid terms, he just basically said that she was scowling right at him, looking right at him, not happy about it. So that's Matt and mom scared shitless now. So the next day, Dora, being the brave explorer that she is, once Matt and Cammy are at school, goes in his room while Rose is playing downstairs.
Oh, sure. Says, just leave the baby by herself.
Exactly. Basically tells the ghost, straight up talks to it, all pissed off, says, this is no longer your home. You need to leave. This is my child's room. This is my house. Leave.
I'm the king of the castle, and you're the dirty rascal.
Exact words.
That's what she said to it.
Exact words. Now, another thing I need to mention is the dog. Mm-hmm. Always been the kind of dog that likes to sleep with either the kids or Dora and Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Refuses to go upstairs. Will sit at the bottom of the stairs and whimper when they're all up there.
Hmm.
When they try to carry her upstairs, she flips the fuck out and runs back downstairs.
Hmm.
Shaking real bad. Which they said, it's a new house. Dogs do that kind of thing. Let me tell you right now, dogs do not do that kind of thing.
Not generally, no. If they're scared in a new house, they're going to put themselves directly up your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a couple nights later, Dora gets awoken again, which Ted in this, he's kind of a dick.
Now who calls everybody dicks?
He's a bit of a dick, and you'll see. Ted, he doesn't wake up to any of the kids screaming. He doesn't wake up when Dora's swatting him awake, and you'll see. But Matt starts screaming again one night, and so Dora rushes in there and asks him what's wrong, and he's just pointing at the attic door, which is now wide open. And so she goes, closes it, rebolts it, and she's like, why'd you open it? He's like, I didn't. It opened itself. And she's like, well, maybe it wasn't properly closed. Bitch, it's been closed for decades.
How many ghosts do you got to see before you accept that you got a fucking ghost?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been closed for a long, long time. If it's closed that long, especially in Canada with storms galore, it's going to stay closed.
Yeah, it's not like a sudden draft is just going to open it. If a sudden draft has not opened it in that long.
But despite that, she's like, well, you need to get back to sleep. And he's like, can you get, what's the dog's name? Piper. Piper's the dog's name.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, can you get Piper to sleep with me? And she's like, sure. Goes downstairs. Dog's all happy, jumps in her arms, and she starts carrying it upstairs, instantly starts shaking. Soon as she puts it down in Matt's room, bolts the fuck out. So she goes, fetches Piper again, and tries it again, and shuts the door before Piper can get out. Instant dog wails. The dog is going nuts, keeping everyone awake. So they open up the door. Dog skedaddles back downstairs where it's safe. And is like, Dora says, Piper just doesn't like it up here. And what mom doesn't say to Matt is especially hates your room. But yeah, Piper especially hates his room. And so she asked if Matt wants to camp out in her and Ted's room, which he wants to. And they all go to sleep, but she can't go back to sleep. And she's just uneasy. The whole night she hears the footsteps, but they're getting a lot closer to her room than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while she's hearing the dog wail. So she goes and buys like a picture of an angel, like just religious artifacts, and hangs them in the kids' rooms, which ceases things for a while. She's like, okay, that's all we needed to do. Poof. Wrong. But the kids are sleeping good. She's sleeping better. Like, the footsteps are still happening. The smells are still happening. But I'm not complaining about fresh bread. Neither should she. But the lamps, you remember, this might actually tell us what year this is. The lamps that you could touch and it would go brighter off.
Yeah.
I don't know what years those were popular, but
those were around for quite a while.
They had a couple of those.
Mm.
They called them booper lights because that's what Rosa called them, so everyone just called them that.
That's a fairly accurate name for them.
It's boop.
You boop them, yeah. And they light.
Yep. So they hear Rosa giggling one day, walk in, and her lamp is just going nutso by itself. And she thinks it's the funniest fucking thing in the world. Ted knows it's not Morse code. But yeah, it might be like fast, slow, fast.
Yeah, that's Morse code.
Okay,
long,
yeah.
Short.
Yeah, so it's saying SOS,
yeah,
over and over and over and over again. So SOS. Ted says it's weird, must be faulty wiring. Dora says we need help. That's how she takes it. So she talks to a ghost hunter or paranormal investigator named Rhonda. She tells Rhonda everything that's going on in the house, despite Ted saying, don't tell her everything that's going on in the house. And, well, Rhonda gets right back with her over email and says, the ghost, the spirit in your house is probably asking you for help. It must need help with moving to the other side. So that alleviates some of the fear. But regardless of some of the fear being gone, she's still pretty creeped out. Dora is.
Well, yeah, I can imagine.
And she's talked with the kids about maybe moving, and the kids are like, fuck no, Mom. We like this house. And Ted says, fuck no, honey. I like this house.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, everyone likes the house, but she don't. She wants to move. So she starts doing research, and she finds out that the house has had a lot of owners, and each one, other than the last tenant, or not tenant, but owner, stayed about 4 to 6 months. Every single one from like late 1800s to now. And most of the time the house has been vacant. So, one day, right in the middle of the day, the kids are at school, Ted's at work. So it's just her and Rose in the house. And she's sitting on the dining room table. Rose is in the living room playing. she sees a very unwell child run by her into the living room. Unwell child, she later describes, looking extremely dead. Yes, like bluish gray hue to the skin. Dark eyes. Just looks dead.
Just dead. Just fucking dead.
Yep.
Zombie runs baby. Zombie baby.
What is it? What movie? With the little kid in the bathtub. That's what I picture when she was describing him. What movie? I'm
drawing a
Japanese
blank.
Movie, huh?
The Grudge?
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
That was a good fucking movie.
That's what I picture. So she runs into there thinking, oh golly gosh, he's running for Rosa. Which she's like, Rosa, where did that boy go? And Rosa's like, Mom, are you fucking high? I didn't see no one.
And say no to drugs, yeah.
You heard it from Mr. T, folks.
That was not Mr. T.
I'm aware.
Okay.
It's Sean Penn.
It was Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. So yeah, sees the kid run into the living room. Rosa doesn't see it. Rosa doesn't hear anything, but Dora says she heard the kid run, saw the kid run. Very physical shape, run right into the living room, broad daylight. So that freaks her out and gives her another reason to want to move out. And she also attempts to scare Rosa with telling her all this.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't say it in the book, but she describes the kid to Rosa. And what is that going to do to a 3-year-old?
Yeah, I mean, describing the kid would definitely be in an effort to frighten the child. So,
absolutely. She tells Ted about the child she saw, and Ted's like, it was your imagination. Grow up. She says she wants to move again. Ted tells her, no. So, Dora comes across this thing at the store, how to make, like, you remember when it was a huge thing to, like, make your pictures look really vintage and old?
Yes.
She comes across one of those at a store, so she turns her wedding picture into a vintage picture.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gonna hang it on the wall. So she gets a hammer and a small nail to hammer it onto the wall.
As you do.
Right. So she accidentally drops the nail. She goes to look for it. Cannot find it. Wide open floor. Can't find it. And so she, like, looks up for a second. And she hears a loud thunk right underneath her feet. Or, like, right underneath her.
Mm-hmm.
So she looks down. And there lies this big-ass, like, railroad spike. Yes.
That ghost is funny.
Your reaction was Ted's reaction.
He laughed?
Yes, he laughed his ass off and said, this ghost is fucking with you.
That is hilarious. I'm sorry. That's just funny.
Yeah. Now Dora's like, oh no, the ghost is trying to help. Something new. I needed a nail, and it provided me with one just a little bit too big.
I mean, you could also take it that way. Still funny.
Well, so Ted said, if it was trying to help you, why would it steal your first nail? And she was like, it was trying to help, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she had the railroad spike, but she used a different nail, like her normal nail. Couple days later, they're all sitting in the family room. Next thing you know, you hear this thud. So they run up there, and the picture had fallen. It's in one of those old cases with the flimsy glass in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't break, but the nail was like ripped out of the wall. Like it couldn't support the weight of it. So she turns to Ted and starts gloating that she should have used the big ass railroad mm-hmm. spike to hold it. And Ted's like, that's ridiculous. so yeah, it was Ghost was funny.
Yeah.
But they finally like decided to say something weird was going on because she's like, it materialized out of nowhere. And Ted's like, well, it looks real, real old and I don't know where you would have gotten it. Mm-hmm. So that's weird. But you could also be elaborately pranking me. So he's still, it's your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Then winter comes along because all this is happening like summer, fall. So winter comes around, or maybe late fall. There's snow on the ground, a lot of snow. So it's not August. And Rosa says that there's a dog outside, not Piper, a different dog. And it's cold outside, it's snowing. So she goes out there, lets the dog inside, and she's going to try to find its owner. So Rose is playing with the dog and all that stuff. And she calls Ted to let him know that she found a dog, and she's going to call the paper and the news to see if they can say something
mm-hmm.
so they can help find the owners. And when she gets off the phone with Ted, she hears her daughter just laughing her ass off upstairs. So she's looking downstairs for the dog, and she calls to Rosa, and she's like, hey, where's the puppy? And she's like, oh, Snowflake, that's what they named it. Snowflake's up here with me. So she's like, dogs don't like it up there. That's weird. Goes up there, and what she sees makes the hair on her, on the back of her neck stand up, gives her goosebumps. This dog is standing on a nightstand, upright, batting at something in the air and like chasing it, chewing at it, but standing upright. And Rose is laughing her ass off, thinking it's a trick.
Mm-hmm.
But she said it was something very unnatural about the dog standing upright. Like, dogs will hop up on their hind legs, but apparently this one looked very, very natural standing that way, but unnatural about how it looked, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Kinda.
Like, it looked like it stood like that easily, but there was nothing natural about it being able to stand like that.
I mean, I have seen some dogs that can stand up and walk on their hind legs and shit. And it always looks unnatural. Even if you know the dog and you know it's just a thing that that dog does, it never looks quite right.
Well, okay. So what makes it weird, though, is that it's like following something that no one else can see and like batting at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like throwing its weight around, but still maintaining two legs. So that's some skill. And so Dora grabs the dog, takes it back downstairs. And the second she lets go of it, bolts right back upstairs and does the same exact thing.
Hmm.
Rosa just thinks it's hilarious. But this creeps Dora out enough to where she's like, okay, I'm going to let the puppy out. And as she lets the dog out, she sees a family driving around, like looking slow around the neighborhood. And she asks, are you guys looking for a dog? Turns out it's the owners. Rose is pretty pissed off that the dog's gone, as any child is.
Yeah, any like 3-year old is going to be a little bit upset thinking they got a new puppy and now it's gone.
Yeah, I've been there. But mine was usually with like snakes and stuff. So the next thing to happen is random random stuff keeps disappearing, mainly the kids' clothing, which I wanted to call horseshit on that because kids can lose clothing like no other.
That's true. I have two of them.
Yeah, and you find it in the craziest spots.
Yep.
So, and it's also like little knickknacks and stuff that are going missing. Nothing expensive, but the places where they find all this stuff is weird. It's places that not even Ted can reach.
Mm-hmm.
It's behind stuff that they haven't moved since before they moved in. They haven't ever moved, so on and so forth. And also, the kids start finding a shit ton of coins again all over the place, which they did year and a half ago when they first moved in, but now they're just finding change. And Ted's like, I had a lot of loose change, so that's what that is. All the clocks stop working. Even her watch stops working, so she changes the battery. Doesn't work, so she gets a new watch. Instantly stops working. So she puts the two watches in her nightstand, and she ends up going to get something out of it a couple of days later just to find that the watches were no longer stopped, but they were also on the correct time operating again.
That's weird.
Yeah, and it wasn't ever a certain time. Like, one was like 3:24 in the morning, one was like 7:05 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then one thing that really freaked her out, Dora, is she starts feeling like cold water drip on her, or like something barely touch her when she's sleeping. And well, she's kind of afraid that she's going to see another ghost, so she doesn't open her eyes or react.
Good call.
Yep. So she just kind of like nuzzles up to Ted and hopes for the best. One time she feels something, and it's not what she's used to feeling, not like a water drip or something touch her. It's like just an uneasy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So she opens up her eyes and turns, and on Ted's side of the bed is like a late teen girl.
Uh-oh.
Just staring at Ted.
So bad Ted.
At first she's startled. Oh, no, because this one has light emanating off of it. So, it's staring at Ted, and at first she's terrified, but then she's like, oh, well, it's just watching. Okay, I'm not scared anymore.
Yeah, that makes it better.
Well, so that's what she said. She didn't feel any fear after the initial like shock. And then she starts feeling jealous because of how hard this thing's staring at Ted.
Told you, bad Ted.
So she's like, huh, I'm gonna put my arm around him and let this ghost know that he's mine. So she slowly does that, and then she puts her shoulder on his, or her chin on his shoulder. And like, she's still watching the ghost. Ghost eyes break from Ted, look right at her, and it had no facial feature, like no mad, angry, whatever, until it notices that she's on Ted. Then the ghostie gets real pissed. Walls shake a little bit. Instant terror, like just this primal fear goes into her, because she described that if the ghost would have like continued to have no facial feature, or like smiled, or even had an oh shit face, she wouldn't have been as scared, but it just got fucking irate. And then once things start shaking, it doesn't vanish right away, but it turns into like a million little lights, and then the lights just continue to go out a couple at a time until finally it's gone. She wakes up Ted. Ted says,
and she
"You're
says,
fucking crazy.
Who is that fucking bitch, Ted, who is watching you sleep? Ted, you want to tell me who that was, Ted?"
Exactly.
Because it's Ted's fault. It doesn't matter if he has no idea it's Ted's fault.
It is Ted's fault.
Anyway.
Learn how to wake up. But he's like, "You're crazy. Go back to bed." Well, she doesn't go back to bed. She doesn't follow Ted's advice. And Rhonda, the ghost hunter lady, she tells her all this stuff, and she's like, "Hey, those objects that you pulled out of the ground, they're in your house right now?" And she's like, "Well, yeah, my daughter likes them." And she's like, "Yeah, you need to rebury them.
Yeah, you need to put them back in the fucking ground."
So she does that. And, well, she does it to a couple of the objects that they found. But the daughter liked the jar so much that she didn't want to let it go. So mom's like, "Well, I'm no pushover. You can keep it."
She put her foot down on this one.
Yeah. And, well, they start, like, the ghost. Ghosts start grabbing her, not just like running their finger, start like pulling her hair, start grabbing her feet, start putting weight on her, that kind of stuff. And each time she's like, Ted, wake up. There's ghosties ghosting on me. And he's like, "You're nuts. Go back to bed." And he instantly goes back to bed.
Fucking Ted.
Yeah, so finally, she's like, "Hey, listen, Rosa, you gotta put the jar back in the ground. The spirits want it back in the ground." And she's telling her 3-year-old daughter, "The spirits are mad that it's not in the ground." Once again, scaring poor child.
In this case, I can get behind it, though.
Nah. Leave your kids out of it. If nothing's scaring them, then they're fine. The next part coming up is my favorite part. So they bury the glass jar, and they start getting good sleep, not getting woken up in the night. Like, everyone's sleeping good. They go on holiday thinking that everything's all over. They come back, and there's candles lit.
Which, well, that's just not safe at all.
Exactly. But the way that they're lit is even worse. You remember the old, like, candle stands?
Yes.
You remember? Okay. That's balancing upside down with no candles in it. The candles are just, like, wax on wood on fire.
Well, that's not only unsafe, but also messy.
Yeah, and Cammy, oldest daughter, Cammy's like, "Mom, why'd you do this?" She's like, "I didn't do this. It must have been the spirit." Oldest daughter's like 6, 7 maybe. But she's telling, "It's a ghost." So Cammy starts getting afraid. But all in all, Ted's like, "It's weird, but someone did it." So here's my favorite part. Dora has a friend over. Well, one of the paranormal people in, Rhonda's address books of ghosty hunter, paranormal investigator type deal. I almost said paranatural. And she's telling the lady everything. Dora's telling paranormal lady everything. And paranormal lady's like, yes, yes, this is all true. I'm a psychic, blah, 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 blah. And Ted's like, you guys are full of shit. And they're having a couple of drinks just to like ease the tension, you know. And Ted's having a beer. Well, so he sets his beer down to go grab something. When he comes back, he opens up the beer and it just explodes in his face. Everyone thinks it's hilarious. Other than Dora and Ted. Dora's like, oh, it's a ghost. And Ted's like, one of you bitches shook this up. And he goes and gets another beer. Same thing happens. Cracks it open. Explodes in his face. This time, Dora can't help but laugh. Ted is not happy about it. So he just puts his beer down. And like a couple of nights later, he grabs a can of beer. Cracks it open. And it's not when he cracks it open. It's when he brings it to his mouth. It'll explode. Which...
That's a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah. So he cracks open the beer, goes to drink it, all over his face. And it just becomes like a family joke. Like the kids think it's hilarious. Dora thinks it's hilarious. Ted starts getting a chuckle out of it. It's like, this ghost don't want me drinking. So finally, he's like, I'm going to beat this motherfucker at its own game. Pours it into a glass.
Okay.
Walks out to the living room, goes to take a drink, explodes in his face.
That ghost is a dick.
Yes. Finally, Ted's like, all right, that's weird. Beer never explodes in his face again. After he says it was weird. He can drink beer just like every other man.
So the ghost just wanted acknowledged Tedward.
Yep. Yep. Then... around that same time, like they just got back from their holiday. One of the neighbors comes up to them and they're like, hey, we saw a lady in your yard while you were gone. And they're like, Ted's like, basically, don't you dare say anything about our house being haunted. We're not going to be pariahs.
Oh, you want me to say motherfucker to you?
So Dora keeps her yap shut for a half a second. I really hope she never listens to this. Probably piss her off. But this is just, I read the book or listened to it. So going off of her word. She just can't keep her face shut about.
She's got to tell the whole damn everybody's.
Yeah, she is like the gossip girl of Canada. So basically, they're like, well, what did the lady look like? And our first ghostie that we saw, that very tall woman, that's who they describe. And they're like, so the weird thing is this lady wouldn't look at us. Like, she wouldn't turn her face towards us. Even when we, like, went to look around, she would just turn her head so we couldn't see her face. And she said she was unnaturally tall. The lady, the neighbor who was saying this, was 5'10". And she said her hand was at least 8 inches above her head. So that is a freakishly tall woman. Six six. Which they did some research, and like back early 1900s, there was a nurse who lived there who died there that was just freakishly tall, like 6'5". Yeah. So like the nurse outfit.
Well, there you go.
Yep. But apparently neighbors can see the ghost now. So said neighbor also happens to have a sister that's a psychic. So psychic tells Dora that this ghost picked your family. That's why this was such a welcoming home, because they knew they needed to share things with your family. And
that's not knowledge. Creepy at all.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get a little bit more into that, but like, that was just the first visit. The psychic basically said the ghost want to share knowledge with you. They chose your family. And that was first visit. Then underneath the porch and in the dining room, they start finding articles from like newspapers a long time ago, 1940 or 1930s, about World War II before it happened. Like Hitler talking in speeches, and they're like, oh, could this turn into a war?
Mm-hmm.
And like over and over, just World War II stuff. Keep finding it everywhere. And they end up trying to save it, but as soon as they like go to laminate it or even type it out, the words just go away. So they think it's trying to send a message, but they don't look into it because they're not smart. After a while, the power starts going in and out of like the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
When the power does go out, the family, excluding Ted, is seeing shadow figures in doorways and corners, like all over, different shapes and sizes. And it's shadow figures, not spirits, because they were seeing spirits in the dark. Now they're just seeing shadow figures. Now, you did a shadow figure or a shadow person episode. Mm. So you know what I'm talking about. Their basement also starts to flood. So this ghosty slash whatever is going up on its dick a tree level.
Mm-hmm.
There's voices coming out of nowhere saying incoherent stuff. And well, Dora still wants to move. So Seth, the psychic, comes back and says the ghosts don't like the add-on. After Dora's like, yeah, this stuff started happening after we did an add-on to the house and started digging stuff up. So psychic's like, shouldn't have done that. Ghosts don't like it. I'm psychic. Goes on with the knowledge stuff after she was like, yeah, World War II shit. Yeah. So the psychic's name is Ronald. It's a good psychic name.
Psychic Ronald the psychic.
Yep. And I just want to say, Ronald, you ain't a psychic. Ben, tell me how your day was.
I mean, it was okay, I guess.
Was your day okay? The ghosts are telling me that. I'm psychic.
Is that what Ronald was doing?
Yes. Yes, it was. But apparently Ronald helped because the ghost decided to leave him alone for a bit. So they take that as, oh, the ghosts are out of here. Let's dig some more. They dig a family pool. Uh-huh. And
it was at this moment that he knew he fucked up.
And certain objects are taken out of the ground again.
Dang it, Bobby.
So one thing that they found that kind of confused me until I heard the rest of it, and it still kind of confused me. So the first ghostie I said had like really bright blonde hair, right? They find a whole head of hair like attached to skull, basically, or not, but like attached to something, which mom's like, oh, this is an animal. Child is like, no, that's the same hair as the ghost I saw. Matt said that. She's like, no, it's an animal. It's not an animal because they found some remains while digging for the pool and basically came across two children, a very large woman, and what seemed to be a smaller woman. Possible older teen. So the way this book ended, I didn't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
They discovered that a part of the house had burnt down. So they decided, with the alcohol exploding in Ted's face, it must have meant that the father was an alcoholic who passed out with a pipe in his mouth and burnt down that part of the house, killing the two kids, the woman, himself, and blah, blah, blah. This is all what she's saying. So something told her that she needed to rebury the bodies properly. And that's what she did. And strange things still happen to this day. That's how the book ended.
I am absolutely floored by the dead bodies in the backyard part of this story. I mean, it happens. There were certain parts of our history where that was quite common to bury the family in the yard where of the house where they lived. But in modern times, when you find such things, you call the authorities, and the authorities have a lot to do. And they check things out and they go, oh no, these remains are old as fuck. And then, yes, you can have them reinterred like in a cemetery or something, but goddamn.
So what I'm thinking is hair is attached to the scalp, correct? The scalp is skin.
Yes.
If it was as old as they thought it was when they were telling the story, it made it sound like it was close to 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Skin decays in that amount of time, especially not in a coffin or with any type of embalming fluid. Your skin just becomes earth, which your hair takes a long time, but it still wouldn't have something to cling on to.
So, yes, generally, but it is not unheard of, depending on the composition of the soil and various other factors, the rate of decomposition can be greatly slowed.
The only thing I could think of is it's Canada. It was pretty deep in the ground, so it's gonna be cold. It's gonna remain cold. But if it was a fire that killed him and it was just time that put him down.
That's the part I'm having trouble wrapping my head around, is how'd they get buried in the backyard without coffins or a marker or something?
So a little bit of history that didn't really have a lot to do with the story is, there was three plots that used to be just that one property.
Right.
Back a long, 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 long time ago. Someone bought it for like $3. And someone was hanged on the property. And ever since then, weird things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people just move in and out. Like, the original person sold the land, or gave the land away to his son. The son owned it, but did not live there until he died. And then the state took it, sold it for like $5.
Mm-hmm.
Someone lived there for just a couple of months, sold it, so on and so forth, all the way to like early 1900s, where people just have it for a month or two, maybe 6 months. But like the longest someone lived there was the person before, which he just closed off the parts of the house that scared him.
Right.
Like he said he used one bedroom, he used the kitchen, and he used the living room. That was it. And he still wanted out of there. He sold it for dirt cheap, especially in such a nice neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I also find it weird that, like, decomposition, like, I've hunted and trapped a lot in my life, and I always bury, like, remains of animals, especially like skunks and possums.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back a year later, try to dig them up, and you're gonna find bones. You're not gonna find skin or hair attached.
Generally, yeah.
We're talking almost 100 years, and they're still having skin attached, holding hair together. Blonde. Well, golden blonde hair.
Another part of that is you said they died in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Which, depending...
Hair is pretty flammable.
Right, but if they were not in the fire, but near the fire, and died of, like, smoke inhalation?
Inhalation. That's breathing in.
They could have essentially been smoked. Cured. You would take a lot longer to decompose that way.
It's true. That's true.
But you still gotta wonder who the fuck put them there.
Yeah, especially that deep. Like, over time, you can go, like, into the ground a little bit, but 4, 5, 6 feet, naturally?
Yeah, no, they were buried, but they were buried...
They had to have been buried.
...without coffin and without marker, and that's weird.
That's a big boo-boo.
Yeah, that's real weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because unmarked grave is, like, a huge sign of disrespect back then.
Yeah, if you were burying family members on the family property, you would have... Now, it could have been a wooden marker that decayed and rotted over time during that, but you'd still put them in a coffin, and there would be some sort of sign of that coffin even 100 years later.
Yeah, even back then, like, they didn't have embalming, so they would just, like, gather up the people who cared as fast as they could. Literally build a coffin that day, hold a service, bury them that day.
But you still built a coffin.
Yes. So the fact that they're just finding remains.
That's weird.
Like, yeah, because even place I went to this summer, that abandoned amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
Had 3,000 Native Americans, and they still had certain coffins and all that stuff. And we're talking hundreds of years. So.
Yeah, you'd still find at least bits of wood and nails and things like that.
Yeah. Hell, they think they found freaking wood from the Ark.
Allegedly.
They find wood that they can date back thousands of years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that does happen.
Yeah. And not even petrified, like actual wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what are your thoughts?
That is a wild fucking story. Now, I feel like Dora is greatly exaggerating how scary and malicious the ghosts were, because everything they talked about would be creepy.
It would be creepy, but...
But I didn't hear anything really, like, harmful.
Not even any, like, poltergeism activity.
I mean, a little. Well, you know, the railroad spike like... showing up and shit getting moved and hidden and whatever, but nothing Black Monk type, or, you know.
Yeah, picked up, that kind of shit. Yeah.
And nobody got scratched or possessed or anything like that, like the Hinsdale house. I mean, like, yeah, the shit would be creepy. But I feel like it wasn't. I feel like she was overreacting to it just a little.
Just, it's like a haunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the book. If you guys wanna read it or listen to it, it's on Audible, it's on Amazon, it's on basically anywhere you can find a book, Goodreads. It's called Haunted by Dora L. Williams.
So there you go, people. Check that book out. Let us know what you think.
I did leave stuff out, but not a lot. Like I said, she went through like two chapters describing this kid's bedroom, how dirty it was. If that's not a woman for you.
Yeah, and like we've stated before, folks, we give you the abridged versions of the story here.
Yeah. And my big thing, like one thing that bothered me to no end, was they keep finding newspapers that seemingly just disintegrate when they try to store it about World War II. Like, for like two chapters, she makes it sound like it's going to be like this huge revelation, and then literally nothing happens about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pissed me off. And I know they did move away from it, but long after the book ended.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the book.
It's an interesting story happened. For sure.
Yeah, but...
Oh, well.
All right.
There you go.
There we go.
And with that, I will say thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy our show, do not forget to tell a friend about us. That is how podcasts grow, by word of mouth. And with that, I will say good night.
Tell a shit ton of people. Spread this like a wildfire. Good night. Love you.